Welcome back, everybody. This is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea of the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. He, of course, is JC Sherbert, my co-host from Points Unknown, and we are back. Appreciate everybody kind of giving us a couple of days there to figure things out, get some stuff done.
Still some ongoing, but yeah.
Things are moving rapidly in an ever-changing environment for the folks around here, and more to come. Good stuff. Best lies ahead. And we'll be able to fill everybody in when we have something to fill in. But today is Wide Open Wednesday on the show, and we are rocking in the ITG chat box. Got some stuff already popping off over there, JC. But good to have you back, man. Missed you.
Yeah, miss doing it. Miss talking to everybody, interacting with everybody every day. Coffee will be back tomorrow morning. I believe we'll have a Friday one, too, if my schedule allows. But it'll be get back full-time and up and running. There's just sometimes I just can't get to everything during the day during this time period, but we are rocking and rolling and back, and good to be talking a little Gamecock sports here. Looking forward to the opening day of baseball, two games. That's good. I got to go to the DMV, take my stepson to the DMV on Friday. Huh. So I'm going to be catching Stuart and Derek on the Gamecocks app, which is how I like to consume baseball. Right. I like the rotation, you know. I mean, Riley Goodman's a player that all the baseball guys have talked good about. He's got good stuff, freshman, but certainly talented guy. Amp Phillips is a player from USC Upstate that I like. And then Brandon Stone was probably Carolina's best pitcher at different points last year, Phil, as the Sunday guy. So we'll see how it all goes. With the Gamecocks, Northern Kentucky, the Norse coming in. That's Darren. The only thing I know to say is that's Darren Horn School.
It's the Darren Horn School.
Where is it at? Covington, Kentucky. That's right outside of Cincinnati. So, yeah. Bobby says, you were a day away from a wellness check, Schubert. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody caring about me. That's but no, nothing was wrong. It's business related. There's some stuff going on with my father-in-law. He's been a little under the weather, but I'm able to navigate around that. So Jay Frew does mention he's transitioning his mom to a skilled nursing facility. Life happens regardless. We love y'all. Y'all are family. Thank you so much, Jay Frew. We appreciate that. A lot of loyal fans out there. Certainly don't like to miss shows, but sometimes it's inevitable. And I think when you're in any kind of, when you're set up like we are, it's not like a radio station where you just call, whoever's down the hall can come in and fill your spot for you. These things happen. So, I'm going to be honest. There's probably going to be some more missed time for me, especially here in the near future. But then once we get everything settled and ready to go, you can bet we won't. We won't be missing. All right. Nana and Nanas. ITG chat box is wide open on Wide Open Wednesday. And Macadino podcast, one of our favorites to jump in.
Yeah, man.
He said he's got a lot to say. Going back to the little Smokies discussion during the cross. The first thing he had to say was about the play calling. He said South Carolina had a real play caller last year. They went 8 games at least. Probably. I mean, I don't know. At least I would think that I think a couple of them would have gone in a different direction.
Yeah, I would put maybe 6. With a decent play caller, you're definitely into bowl season and not just in Birmingham.
Yeah, and when I say decent play, somebody that can scheme other scheme defenses up to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers and not be as reliant on quarterback makes all decisions and all that. We know who those types of play callers are around college football. Mike Shula just didn't have it. I mean, it just wasn't. The one thing that I guess if you wanted to drill it down into a one sentence deal is that he's just past his prime.
Yeah.
And then that happens. It happens to everybody. Guys get past their prime. I don't think Steve Spurrier, the day he walked out of South Carolina, was the same play caller he was when he was at Florida. Now he's still better than 98% of the country.
Right.
But, you know, so that happens. And it's just one of those things. That team this past year at South Carolina could not afford to have anybody that was responsible for game planning, play calling, coaching Lenore Sellers, for it to be a learning experience. And I think, Phil, that's the bottom line with this NFL-style offense, is that it's always a learning experience, because it's hard for college kids to learn. That's why players struggle with the mental part of the game. I mean, I talked about Caleb Williams earlier, and first and foremost, Caleb Williams is a good example to use, because 2 years ago, he showed you what's going to happen when you don't have blocking, when you have a bad issue on the offensive line. Well, look at what happened to him. He was sacked more than Lenore Sellers was. You know, he certainly got escapability. And then, you know, they had probably – he got fired midseason. They had one of the worst play callers in the NFL, Shane Walden, who the Seahawks were glad to see go, and Eberflus hired him or whatever. He was terrible. And they weren't on the same page. And Thomas Brown took over for a while. Things got a little better. But now you replace – now you have Ben Johnson, who's one of the best in the NFL at it, and you went out and fixed the offensive line through free agency. Were they ideal? No. Were they dominant? No. But they were much, much, much better. I mean, look at DeAndre Swift. So I'll use the Bears as kind of a comparison about how things can change if you get the right plan in place and your quarterback takes another step forward. Even if they didn't have bad play calling at Chicago, and even if they didn't struggle with the offensive line, rookie quarterbacks struggle up there, because it's a different level of processing.
Mm-hmm.
And the pro coaches that are successful at the college level either have, like Charlie Weiss when he was at Notre Dame, when he had Brady Quinn and then Jimmy Clausen, because they were good on offense when they had Jimmy, but bad on defense. Their defense just got terrible. But you know, Brady was like this advanced dude. He was ready to go play pro ball, right? And could run everything. When they had Jimmy Clausen, Jimmy, after struggling early, was able to go out and run it. But then look at what he did with John Brantley at Florida. John Brantley wasn't that type of quarterback, and they struggled. You know, that 1 year he was at Florida, struggled mightily at Kansas. It's not like Charlie Weiss forgot how to call plays. He's actually very gifted at it. So either that happens, or you're like Todd Monken and you can go back and forth and do both, or Steve Sarkisian can go back and forth and do both. I think Lane Kiffin could probably go back and forth and do both, but there are very few that can do that. Cliff Kingsbury can do it, but I know people.
Even then, I shade him more college than I do pro.
Cliff. Yeah, I think he's much better in college. Mm-hmm. But he's not bad in pro. And he's one like air raid guy that's pretty good. But anyway, there's the difference, and we talk about it. But winning at least 8 games, probably. I mean, I think South Carolina is certainly more successful. So is Lenore Sellers. But that's over now. And Shane Beamer hired a guy with a fun, aggressive, creative, and fun style of play calling and offense, and that's long overdue because it aligns with everything else they do around there. So that's good. That was kind of something was missing there, and that was what was missing. You had, you know, fun and an easy, fun to play in, fun to play free defensive and special team schemes, and then offense was like calculus, which is not fun for anyone, you know, except Phil. Phil's a mathematical genius.
Well, like numbers. It's a lot simpler real life. A lot simple. Yeah. They make sense.
So there's that. Mac and Dino podcast continues. Look how many games we had the lead or had the ball to take the lead in the fourth. 3 playoff teams of that. Yeah, A&M and Bama were games they should have won. And then who else that went to the playoff? Alabama, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, they were close. Oklahoma, by the time the fourth quarter got there, not so much. Had Missouri down. Yeah. Lance says, watch us start 6-0, finish 9-3, and number 13, and miss the playoffs. Hey, I was thinking today, and now I think with the way South Carolina's schedule worked out, they absolutely are in the playoff with a 10-2 record. But there was a 10-2 SEC team that got left out. I mentioned that at the beginning of the season. It was Vanderbilt. So, because I think after the first year, you know, like I said, people go on. It's all this stuff is so new that when it happens for the first time, everybody's like, well, that's the way it's going to be. You can't say that. So last year's like, we'll get to 10 wins and you're in the playoff. No, nah, not really. It was certainly that way in 2024, but was not in 2025. No. And I don't know that the Texas would have probably gotten in over Vanderbilt too. So they weren't even the first SEC team out at 10-2.
Yeah.
So Max says, I knew we were cooked when Shula called a play action on first to goal at the one. That play should have gotten him out of here. Yeah, that was – Mac, I agree looking back on it. But that was – I mean, that's something Steve Spurrier would do too, you know, throw it on first and goal from the one. Lenore shouldn't have taken the sack in that situation. At the same time, you just threw a pass to. I'm one of these people. I'm like, look, if you're like up at Tennessee, Beamer's first year, the egregious part of the Jordan Birch pass that got intercepted, that was just one of the most horrible things I've ever seen. The egregious part of that was Kevin Harris finally got going that game.
Yeah, you and ran it all the way
they're
down.
They're running it up the butts of the Tennessee Vols. And against that team, with as fast as they scored, that's what you have to do is run it on them and control the clock and get it going. So you're doing it finally. All the way down there, the first thing he does is put Joyner in, and Joyner always kept the ball when Joyner was in until we got to, the bowl game that year.
Right.
Yeah, Joyner would always – everybody knew he was keeping it. So he made the wrong decision, the wrong read. He gave it – Marshawn Lloyd was in the game at running back. Marshawn would have walked into the end zone.
Mm.
I don't know why Kevin Harris wasn't out there, but Marshawn and DeCarion marched out there. And yeah, so he couldn't get in. And because he kept it and got Sloan for, and then the next play was like third down. I mean, it was second down. And so that's what I don't like is like when you got something cooking in the run game, you know, you usually, it's not a bad idea to run. Don't get cute. Especially if you're inside the one. Now, if they stuff you on first and they've adjusted and bowed up. Yeah. Maybe you get a little tricky. Maybe you do that, you know, cause catch them off guard. That's number one. And then, you know, number two is I don't like when it's like I call it the kindergarten style of offense. And I don't know that Shula really got into this. He was just more like brilliant opening drive most of the time. And then he would just get conservative.
Right.
Like it was NFL style, like he was coaching on Sundays. The other part is like, I call it the kindergarten, the story time. You know, it's like we have, and when Steve Spurrier Jr. would call plays here, this is one of the gripes I had with his play calling. It's like, okay, now we are going, and Satterfield did this too, to a certain extent. Now we are going to run. And they run and run and run 7-8 straight plays. Sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't. And there's no balance. And then, and Shula did, I'll give an example of when Shula did get this way. And then it is time to pass. And then we pass, 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 pass. You got to mix it up and balance it, man. Kurt Roper did this too. Shula did get this way. The drive that I think may have done it for Beamer or that did it for me completely, I knew there needed to be a change. I thought maybe you could make some adjustments. But by the time the Ole Miss game got here, the Ole Miss game, you could tell Beamer was just out over it. And he made the move. And it wasn't the play at the end of the first half where there was no sense of urgency. And there wasn't. There was no sense of urgency with Mike Shula calling plays. No rhythm, nothing. And it was the fourth quarter, dude. Fourth quarter. And you had the muffed punt or something. Carolina muffed the punt or something. And the Gamecock defense, it was 20-14. The Gamecock defense bowed up, held them to a field goal. So you're down 9. You're not down 8. You're not down 7. You are down 9. There's no milking the clock going to there, you know, whatever. and Carolina's moving it, but they're running up the middle. Boom, boom, boom. Ole Miss is playing back. Well, then finally, that stalls out as expected about Ben Field. And then Carolina threw it three straight times. I think they got sacked on all three. That is as predictable as the day is long. And they ran 6 minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. You're down nine, dude. Nine. And so that was and so he did get that way. But those are the two things I'm not like. Don't overthink it. Don't get cute. Creativity's fine, but getting cute is different. And then let's not have story time, you know, or let's not have a running time and a passing time. Let's mix it up. It's an art. It's an art form. Anyway. Oh, Mag doesn't like s'mores either. Lots of strong feelings about the s'mores. How do you guys feel about the 9-game SEC schedule? I think the SEC was very reactionary with it. I don't like the number 9. I think 8's a good number. The Big Ten didn't. The Big Ten went to 9 because the Big Ten teams schedule crap outside of the conference.
Right.
Most of them, you know. And now they got how many teams? 17, 18 teams. The Big 12 went to 9 because before the expansion, they only had 10 teams. And so you could play everybody in the conference. Now, in that situation, I'm all for 9.
That makes sense. Yeah, you get to play everybody in the conference, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for the SEC, I guess in some ways it makes sense because you can keep all your secondary rivalries intact. You don't have to have the cattywampus, well, A&M and Texas aren't playing this year. Because remember, TV runs everything, and TV likes Texas, Oklahoma better than Texas A&M.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have that. Auburn and Georgia can keep playing, that Tennessee and Alabama, that kind of thing. So I get it with that. But that's the only advantage, I think. And I think it was reactionary because the Big Ten was like, well, we're not going to deal with, you know, we're not going to come to the table on the playoff until you do that, you know. And then they didn't come to the table on the playoff anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it was another instance of where Greg Sankey has been outflanked by Tony Petitti. And
yeah,
I think he's lost his edge and it's time for him to go. I mean,
Greg's lost his edge.
It's, you know, I don't put him up there as one of the greatest leaders in sports. Like, he's not the most powerful man in college football right now. And he allowed himself to get as such. I would imagine a lot of that was hubris. I point directly to the caving on the 9-game schedule because it doesn't matter what team you're on or what conference you align with. It's completely intellectually devoid to say that the middle of the Big Ten can stand anywhere with the middle of the SEC, and they have to have 9 games just to allow their strength of schedule to be anywhere close to admittance to any sort of legitimate postseason play when all they scheduled were, you know, MAC teams and FCS directional schools prior to, you know, them going to 9. The SEC had, sure, a few, you know, cream puff games in there, and some teams would schedule a little lighter than others, but I mean, there was a time when most of them had cross power opponents.
They all have rivals.
Everyone has somebody. Right. Yeah.
Some end up, you know, like Ole Miss, they sneak into Washington State, you know, or Wake Forest. I get it. But I mean, when they scheduled the Wake Forest game, Wake Forest was really good. Why would you schedule Wake Forest? You know, you're probably like, why would you schedule them? But, you know, Missouri will play Kansas and Illinois. And I mean, South Carolina obviously plays Clemson, but sometimes the Gamecocks play in the 8-game schedule would play 2 power four opponents. I mean, it's not, I think this, the crux of the Big Ten argument against the SEC scheduling wise is here's a surprise. It's an intellectually dishonest argument. Their whole problem is SoCon Saturday, the Saturday before the rivalry games, where a lot of it, that week on the schedule really never is deep with conference games. There's more than there used to be. You know, they're like, why are you playing SoCon teams in November? Well, because the SEC starts conference play week two. They're not sitting around doing 3 weeks of tune-ups.
Right.
And then getting into it, you know. I mean, I fail to see the difference. The Big Ten could do that if they wanted, but they won't. They don't. I'm like, why? You know, that's my question. But why?
But why?
Have you seen that penguin thing, the new meme that's come back with Werner Herzog?
I have not. No.
It's come back. He's like, this penguin has left the colony.
And oh, yes. No, I have.
And they've gone that. Toward yes. the mountains, which would end in certain death. And it's like, even if he went and got the penguin and brought him back to the colony, he would immediately head back toward the mountains, leading to certain death. But why? So that's the thing. It's like, why do the Big Ten schools do that? But why? I think most coaches, if you gave them a choice, and some would say, no, we need a gimme game toward the end to rest up or whatever. But early season losses in college football still come back to bite you at times. I think most of them would be like, if you said you can either have one or the other, you can have two, three warmups and then the season or not. They'd probably gravitate towards the beginning of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
However, you know, I don't know this 100%, but I don't think it makes a lick of difference. I mean, has the fact that you're playing Northwestern the week before you play Ohio State impacted Michigan? Has it impacted Ohio State? Is that in-state tussle with a fading fast Purdue program? By the way, Purdue,
man,
you know, does Indiana doesn't need a tough game the week before? I mean, what? I don't understand. I just don't get it. And so, I don't get their argument on the Big Ten side of things. I think it's just a much ado about nothing. But you know, as far as games that are exciting to watch, fans should like it because it's more SEC football. Saheem the Dream says Brandon Cisse might have a better combine than we think. Yeah, I think if he has a really good combine, runs well, does well in the drills, he could get the first round. At least second. I think Kilgore's probably third, maybe fourth. Nick Barrett probably in undrafted free agent. Probably in the late rounds, just because he's a D tackle. Curious to see if Nick Barrett measures 6'3" at the combine, because he's Carolina listed with 6'3", 322. And then Faison, you know, I think you'll have to blow the combine up to get drafted. Running backs are funny, though. It's like, I don't know that Rasul Faison, even if he doesn't get drafted, I don't know that he's done playing football. I've seen running backs, you know, it's just a different position. Roger, reporting from Woodruff, South Carolina, says the Wolverines have a receiver from Westside, maybe Brian Lane. Brian Lane, who coaches at Westside, used to coach at Woodruff, recommended us. I know he's got a lot of good friends here. And I guess Aiden Gibson told the whole state that on Sports Talk. So there we go. Pimp on a Blimp asks, who got caught speeding with pot? Devontae Miles.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen. You're always innocent until proven guilty in our country. I would probably imagine that if you ask me, I think his days are numbered with the program because he got suspended during the year too.
Yeah, second suspension is not.
And then it wasn't just like
a good look.
One joint or something. I mean.
Yeah, also, yeah, the way that it was packaged and found allegedly is going to cause some problems.
Use your brain.
I know. Dude. I know.
So
he wasn't speeding, though, according to reports. It was, you know, improper tag placement and tint issue.
Ooh, so maybe probably, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
So
all I know is, looks like you're playing a little fast and loose there.
Magadino said, if you guys have much insight, why did Sequel Patterson drop in the rankings when he's a five-star in 2027? I don't know. I don't understand why. And I'll get some clarity on this one day. Why? Okay, so if recruiting rankings are supposed to be long-term projections, right? Then what changes about his long-term projection if he's in a class. I mean, the normal way to look at it, because I think that's abnormal. Normal way to look at it is, well, now he's being compared to older players, so therefore, you know, he's not, he doesn't compare as well because everything's a comparison. But if you're projecting long term, that's still a long term projection. But I think that's a glitch in the rankings matrix a little bit. They probably need to fix. So we'll see. Mr. Boogie said, so we're going to need another DT in the portal with the Miles situation. I don't think there's one out there, Mr. Boogie. Just to be honest, if there's one they can pick up, I'm sure they'd love to have them, but I think they'll be fine.
Even then, that was a position of emphasis where they did add some depth.
Yeah, he added a couple guys. Yeah. You got some, you know, you got Aiden Harris, Noah Clark coming in. Christian Ingram will be back. Hopefully, Caleb Williams. You want to get to six. You want to be able to rotate six. So, yeah. But that's the thing. Bobby said Dowell Loggins gets Carolina to a bowl. Probably, yeah. Dowell would have just kept on keeping on. So,
yeah, it would have been the bill of goods that we were sold.
Yes,
with Mike Shula.
Good question here by Hayden. JC, do you think Ohio State will have trouble bringing in an NFL guy for OC? Who did they hire? Phil, get me that. Oh, Arthur Smith.
Smith, yeah.
I'm intrigued by because Arthur Smith has a pretty good reputation in the NFL as far as play calling goes. I'm intrigued to see what he does. Matt Patricia, as their defensive coordinator, actually did a fantastic job this past year. So what's wrong about him? I mean, I don't think I was wrong about their defense being good, but I mean, they lost a bunch of players and ended up being really good. And he was excellent. So I'm not going to rule it out. You know, Ryan Day's pretty good at hiring coordinators. But I am intrigued to see how this goes. You know, they've got Julian Sayin back. They got Jeremiah Smith back. Arthur Smith may be a guy that, you know, if you read anything about his philosophy and how he likes to mix it up, he may actually be pretty good in college. But it's not so much the plays you dial up as how you teach it and how complex you make it. And so that's going to kind of be his success. But I wouldn't just, you know, blanket say he's going to fail, especially at Ohio State. Max says offense looked a lot better with Furry than Shula. It wasn't the players. I agree completely. Lance says, I hope the defense takes a step as a unit and we find a way to run the ball and find ourselves back in a bowl at least. Yeah. Defense has to replace some guys, but they should be good. I mean, there's some guys that have to step up and play, get better, you know, but on defense, they're very good at getting players to play gradually or quickly their best football, in my opinion. All right, hit the music,
Phil. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah,
Phil. So, we'll get back to more ITG chat box, right? All that. It is Wide Open Wednesday. That means it's the special day at D's Wings. 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. We love D's Wings. Ample parking over in West Columbia. Just cross that Gervais Street Bridge. It's right there. Once you get past, go through the light. It's right there on the left. Kind of back in there, my stepson says it's the best food in the universe. I agree with him. I could tear up some D's right now, Phil, myself.
Oh, I could too.
I'm a little hungry. So
we didn't get chicken wings for Super Bowl this year, so
we didn't either.
Still got to scratch that itch.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll be back after this on a Wide Open Wednesday on the show.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium, and the Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us. Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITV.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks of the show, rolling on here on a wide open Wednesday. Got a little brief segment here to get us into the next hour there. Yeah. Hitting the chat box hard.
Hit it hard.
Good to have everybody back talking junk in the chat box.
Yeah. TD Doll chimes in about the, I think, the Tennessee 2021 nightmare. We were at a tavern watching a game, and sometimes on college football Saturdays, it's nice because we're the only people there. There's like a couple other diehard college football people there. I yelled loudly. And then you look up, next thing you know, it's 38-7. Game over.
Right.
Matt Candino back in, rocking and rolling. They are owning the ITG chat box
today. Yeah, killing it today.
Beamer is a dog, in my opinion. I like his mindset as a coach, and the way we never gave up on the season is big. Yeah, that's that culture part of it, and they never did. I'm very disappointed in what happened against Clemson, because I think if they'd have played a little better, and maybe, I don't know what exactly they could have done, because Clemson actually was locked in, and Clemson's team this past season was really good about bleeding teams. Dabo, if you ever notice, when maybe they're not as overly talented, sometimes they'll get in a game, and I've seen them do it to a number of really good teams, and they'll run it and play defense and win. I mean, that's a Dabo thing, and it's strange, but that's kind of what they did. You know, I guess in that game, I was a little disappointed that Adam Randall went for over 100.
Yeah.
You know, there were some 50-50 plays that the secondary just did not make. And then the pick six. I mean, and then the calls were bad too. So, but I didn't like the way it ended. But up until that point, it clearly was a team that did not – went into every game not giving up. I mean, heck, if they'd have held on at A&M, number one, that's the upset of the year in college football. Number two, maybe that Clemson game is a little bit different because they're playing for – a bowl game,
right?
And then won two straight. But
yeah,
it was just you're right. They never gave up. I do think this team, especially on offense, especially Lenore Sellers, I do think by the time Clemson got there, they'd lost some confidence. Because and then that happens to every team when you're losing. You know, you just you need something. You heard that phrase: "We need something good to happen." You need something good to happen. It carries over. So yeah, Max says, I don't think the HBC would have caught a pass play in 2010 to 15. He leaned on his run game a lot more. Sometimes not. Dell Loggins felt like a superstar compared to the other two. It definitely felt like Shula took his foot off the gas after the first drive. Yeah, and see, that's a difference. I think that's an NFL thing, because what happens in the NFL, they adjust. And they adjust quickly. And so then you got to go back and say, okay, well, we're going to just run it. And if we have to punt three straight times, then we're going to set them up for something later. In college, you just keep attacking until they stop it. Because sometimes they can't stop it.
No.
You know? Max said our defense kept trying to erase Shula's mistakes. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that I think if the defense did not have to spend so much time on the field, it would have looked statistically a lot better than it did, even though I was happy with the performance of the defense because, you know, being inside the bubble here, we all got to see what they were up against.
Yeah. No doubt. Mac was out after the SC State game. Halfback dive three straight times and 2 minute offense to win against Bama. Yeah. And then Lenoris on them. I didn't get that either.
No.
Quantrell said he hates the NC State series. And yeah, they ended it. Yeah. That happened. Virginia Tech's off too. North Carolina's probably next. They're going to cancel all those, I think.
Yeah.
He likes visiting Raleigh. I went up there in 09. That's a loud stadium. They get a lot of fans. Mac says Sankey's been terrible. Lately, he has. Nine game SEC schedule, bad refs. It feels like he's making sure the team with the better odds to make the playoffs gets the better calls. They got to do something. Everybody's got to do something about officiating. I have a theory on that, Phil, is that because cameras and video is so, you have the uber, super, uber duper slow-mo, you can slow it down within fractions of a second. And so, it's either this, either officials have gotten terrible,
right?
And replay officials don't know their butt from a hole in the ground sometimes. Because like the Clemson game, I thought that was going to be overturned. He clearly trapped the ball on the ground. And then they come back with an explanation to Beamer, like, no, it doesn't matter if he does. Well, then why are we like taking touchdowns off the board when receivers don't have control of the ball and they don't complete the catch? Do we have different rules for the defensive backs catching it?
At this point, I think we need to remove the whole completing the process of.
They started doing that in the NFL a couple of years ago, you know, and they need to really change the rule and just say, here's what a catch is. If you have control of the ball and you get 2 feet down, and as long as you have control of the ball and then clear control of the ball, you're not bobbling it. When you get 2 feet down, that's a catch. And if you run out of bounds and you still have the ball, possession of the ball, it doesn't matter if you fumble it when you get out of bounds. That's still a catch. I mean, I don't get it.
No, I don't like the whole, like, you're moving it from one hand to the other, and it might make a move that's only caught on three frames, then it looks like it's been jarred loose. But the entire time you've got the ball in both hands controlling it, and then they call it, like, I thought they called it well in the Super Bowl, like, because there were a couple of sideline plays and you know, kind of heading out of bounds passes that I was just sitting there like, oh man, if this were SEC play, we'd be for another 10 freaking minutes and it would be, you know, overturned and over some stupid crap, you know. And I'm just like, that's where it's like, just let it play, because it's not like it's, you know, not calling pass interference or anything like that. It was like, clearly he caught the ball inbounds and went to the ground. Okay, fine. And it popped out when he hit the ground, but he had already had it for two steps, you know, yeah, inside. I think you're in, he then. Just yeah. incidentally was going that way, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. By the way, these, as an aside, replays in college basketball are making a sport that
it's unwatchable.
It's already tough sometimes. So I don't know what the hell they're thinking there. Roger comes back with about Aiden Gibson, the running back from Woodruff, class of 2027. Gamecocks get an official visit on the 5th of June. Said USF offer makes 22 for him. Selfishly wants him in Columbia because he's a hometown guy. But he can help USC for sure. Win-win if that happens. He's a patient runner, waits on his blocks to set up, burst through the hole fast. Also a hard runner when the situation calls for it, can run you over. Yeah, I'm with you. I like Aiden. I love me some Aiden Gibson.
Yeah.
I like Trey Segarra too, and they're real close to each other. So if you get both of them,
ooh,
great, great. Krager said, we've been lucky the guys Beamer has brought in to stay out of trouble. For the most part. Yeah. Muschamp and Beamer both kind of had Spurrier kind of got that corrected when he took over. For some reason, a lot of guys under Holtz got in trouble and early Spurrier guys got in trouble. But gradually, as it moved forward, you know, and I think it's society in a lot of ways too. I think it's, I think kids these days are raised a little less hell than we did. Phil. Unfortunately, they don't make them like they used to, Phil.
It's the times, you know. Now you get a lot, you get caught a lot faster these days than we do. Yeah,
there's a lot of fear. Everybody's got a camera, so
right.
You're like, yeah, I better act right, you know. Krager loves Christian.
System that's looking for the dog is going to turn you into the FBI.
Yeah, dude. Oh, exactly. Krager says Christian Ingram's going to come on this season. Hopefully that's his guy. Yeah. Ethan mentions both Collins twins at D tackle. No, because Drew is like 240, 6'4. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be a fit. Kelby can slide inside. I think they like Kelby at the big edge. Like I said, you don't need. So let's walk through it here real quick, Phil. Hit the music. I'll walk through it. So let's talk about D tackle. So right now, starters heading into spring, probably Brownlow, Dendy, and Pikes. Okay, then you brought in Tomawa Durajaje, and he may start. But, you know, he's big. And then you got to slide Jordan Thomas in there. Mm. And then you got Caleb Williams, and you got Craig's guy, Christian Ingram. And then Aiden Harris is already there, and Noah Clark is already there as freshman. I could see room for one more if they found a guy. Like you find some guy that's in the portal that doesn't have a home. But, you know, can you get to 4, 5, or 6 out of this is the question.
Yeah.
Can you get to a 4? Because they didn't really rotate more than 4 or 5 last year. Yeah, they didn't quite get to 6. And can they all stay healthy? That's a good question. But anyway. And then if you throw Kelby Collins into this mix, Ethan, that's 9. You know, you can do that. They haven't done a whole lot of that when they, like, South Carolina did that with, remember, Melvin Ingram would slide inside on certain downs and things like that. They haven't, rabbits package-esque stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, by the way.
Yeah, I think you can make it work without having to, I mean, you're not pulling your hair out now.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, my gosh, we got to find somebody. You need one of these younger guys or one of these redshirt guys to step up. And I think, that's why you redshirt guys.
Yeah. Now, if you find somebody that's like, you know.
Well, you never say no to a good player, right?
Yeah.
If you can.
Get him on. We'll be back. You know, they released heights and weights for the freshmen that are here yesterday. We'll talk about that a little bit. Some surprises, some things that, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'd like to measure some of them myself. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. Also, more from the ITG chat box on a wide open Wednesday. Don't forget GamecockTraditions.com for your Gamecock gear all across this great globe of ours. The Village at Sand Hills is where Brick and Mortar Store 1 is. The other Brick and Mortar Store is out in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, proud sponsor of the show. We'll be back second hour on a wide open Wednesday after this.
For over 80 years, the West Law Firm has delivered hard work, honest advice, and real results, and is a law firm built on family that delivers for families in South Carolina. They represent clients through personal injury, criminal defense, car, DUI, and boating accidents, and more. Built on blue collar, representing blue collar, the West Law Firm understands the importance of dedication and experience needed for representation, but with a foxhole mentality. Visit WestLawFirmSC.com. WestLawFirmSC.com. Get comfortable with our team and learn why we should be a part of yours when you need us. Go Gamecocks!
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. It can become extremely difficult to bounce back to what you knew before. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170.
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia.
We're serious about saving you money.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience and service, second to none. Residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Hour number two firing off here on a wide open Wednesday. That way, hop on in the chat box and sound off, if you will, here on YouTube comments as we keep it open for everybody to participate one day a week. Otherwise, you got to be a club chief member, which you may well also consider because it's only $5 a month and it helps us and it also helps Gamecock NIL efforts.
Help me help you.
Help me help you help the team. There we are.
Young Hobie, JC, what up, Phil? Don't feel any sympathy for a kid that does that. Talking about Devontae Miles. Yeah, it's hard to – I mean, he's already been suspended once. I don't understand that either. He's a transfer. Those guys get money. I mean, it's not like he's – you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some places in our country where – like some states where I don't even know that. I don't even know that's elite. I don't. Maybe that's a civil penalty or something. I don't think it's criminal. I'll have to look that up. With the intent to distribute thing. So it's a little, probably in a little less trouble than maybe 10, 15 years ago. Still, I think it's the federal government hasn't changed on that on weed.
Right.
And yeah, you just can't do that, man. And by the way, you just, you know, it's just a bad look. And so we'll see. Everybody's innocent until proven guilty. We don't know all the details. We just know that it happened. But I think, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. I'd be surprised if he makes it back from this one. Maybe. Yeah, never say never, but be surprised. It's just how it goes. Ethan said, I have high expectations for Brownlow Dindy in 26. Man, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, Phil, with Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. If he can just take another step.
Yeah, I mean, because he...
And avoid injuries, too, because he was banged up some last year.
Yep.
But he's just got such... He just needs to put it all together for one season. He's a lot... Yeah, he's kind of a Nick Harbor type. I know they look different. They're different body types for sure. But that he's such a gifted athlete, but the football part has to come. And I mean, he played more last year than he ever has in college. If he hadn't had some nagging injury situations, I think he'd have played a whole lot more and probably made a whole lot more plays. But, man, gosh, that would just be enormous if he could take a step forward next season. I think Troy Pikes was coming on. I get it about him now.
Yeah.
I always have, but – Every time he played, you know, got some extended time, he made things happen. And then, like, that Clemson game was the best game he's played. You really start to see the quickness and athleticism and why everybody wanted him out of the transfer portal. So, you know, that's the deal. TD Null, ask a question. Oh, wait a minute. I skipped Kreger.
Oh, yeah.
I can't skip my man here.
Oh.
Kreger says, I think Kelby will play it in on early downs and maybe slide inside at times. I would think it just all kind of depends. I like the big end idea because those guys can set the edge and play the run.
Yeah.
You know, the question is going to be on pass downs. Can he get home? How fast is he? What's his first step like? I mean, he showed some pass rushing moves at Alabama. Alabama runs an odd front though, sometimes a lot of the time. And so, We have to see on that. But, you know, Kelby, the key for him too, Craig, is going to be bring it down in, down out. You can say that about Brownlow Dindy too. But I think he did more of that this year than maybe was expected. And then he certainly more than he did at A&M. So, you know, these guys are gifted players. They're jumbo athletes, as we like to call them. Some of the greatest athletes size-wise you'll find. Time to if they play like it, that's going to be very beneficial for the Gamecocks. I just don't know. I don't know if they will. It's up to them, really.
Yeah.
So I have hope and confidence that they can get there, but I mean, if they don't, then we're going to be probably disappointed and we will be left wondering or pondering, Phil. What could have been?
What could have
been? We'll be left wanting. You will be left wanting, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing there. TD says, I've mentioned this before, but Beamer self-proclaimed Carolina would be in the playoff in 2026. Kind of got to think for his job's sake, it's college football playoff or bust.
Eh.
I don't think they'll – well, they're not going to fire him if he wins eight.
Yeah, we win 8-9 games and you just miss it. Yeah, because
you wouldn't do not with the way recruiting's going, and if they actually have a good offense and things are heading in the right direction. But yeah, that was a bold statement.
It's gonna put I don't mind the confidence and being bold like that. It's just you know,
either just
could be some repercussions.
One of those things. Harrison said the Gamecocks online roster does have Kelby listed as a D tackle. Yes, but he's going to play some edge too. Ethan said, anything going to happen at Ole Miss? I feel like it's a slap in the wrist for them. The problem there, Ethan, is the tampering penalty is a level, like, what is it, Phil? Level two violation,
yeah.
Which is very minor penalty-wise.
Yeah.
Not even the level one violation. One of the biggest issues in the entire sport. It's only a level two violation.
Yeah, for people who think that, oh, this is a death penalty, you know, accusation. Well, it's not, because death penalty is not one of the consequences for this action, which is crazy. You know, I mean,
but. It is crazy. So, oh, Roger talked about Todd Ellis pronouncing the names for next year's team. It's going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all need some nicknames. You know, like the guy they got from Missouri State late, his name escapes me. His nickname's Boo Boo. I can do that. I can go Boo Boo all day long. You know, Tomiwa Dorojaje. I have to practice, but I have a feeling I'm going to be saying his name a bit.
Yeah, I think Tomiwa's going to be one we're going to have to get up to speed on here.
You know, Bill said it's always different rules for offense. Offense can grab a face mask and not get called. Mm. Football doesn't want defense. Well, yeah, that's a theory, Bill, but a catch is a catch. I mean, that determines possession of the football. It should be the same for a live. I mean, that should be common sense. TD Null mentioned Troy Pikes. Yeah, Troy Pikes. Oh, yeah. TD said when I TD said when I said Troy Pikes, you're naming DTs who are coming back, and I think he's got the most upside, as you were explaining. So everyone wanted him out of the portal. Yeah, I like him. Yeah, he's different. You know, Brownlow Denny's kind of your big jumbo athlete, gigantic dude that's hard to move. Pikes is a smaller, more compact guy. Tonka Hemingway, Aiden Harris type of dude. Athletic, really can make things happen. According to Darren Usher, Tomiwa is a lot like that, like a TJ Sanders type. So that's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see. But I like Pikes a lot. And I think last year was a good year for him, Phil, because he got his feet wet. He kind of learned South Carolina, got more and more playing time as the year went on. Now, Trabian Robertson's going to be back to coach him and developing him. I mean, not that Jordan Dove and Jameel Walker did a fantastic job coaching those guys.
Oh, yeah.
But Travian's a elite developer of talent, and he'll get the most out of him. So I think it's set up well for him individually, Troy Pikes, next season.
I think so, too. I think the script of his season last year, you know, not having to be thrown into it immediately right out of the portal, one of the portal guys with extra eligibility – that way he could, you know, spend a year in the program, strength, development, and as he was used later in the season, looked great. I mean, you could tell, like you said, you could tell there's a special player here. And, yeah, I'm happy about Troy Pikes. He's one of the guys I'm excited to see kind of maybe fill that starting roles next year.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, Roger says, maybe Todd will be like a fellow I used to know read scripture when I was a kid. He'd come to a name that was hard to say, and he's like, hard word. Tomiwa, hard word. Todd does a good job with that. It's just, I can totally relate to him. And so can Matt Anderson, the host of Late Night Game. Matt doesn't even try. He won't even attempt.
If it's not immediately recognizable, then Matt just passes it over.
Matt will get, he'll psych himself out too. So yeah. There'll be somebody named Steve, and he'll be like, Steve. I used to do that too. I'm not a finished. I'm not coming down on Matt, but I'm just saying Matt and I and Todd have the same thing in common. Same thing in common. So Josh just rolls in with the fire Lamont Paris.
That
sound off. I don't know that you need to start a movement for that.
I don't think he'd be starting it, JC. I think that movement's already started.
Yeah. We'll kick a guy while he's down.
I know, right? I know. I was like, hold on, let's wait. We still got a few games left in the season.
Boy, that game against Missouri, man. I mean, they're playing terribly. And then
you weren't playing your best half, and then you came out and played one of your worst halves of basketball.
Yeah, played a bad half and cut it within four, and then just died on the vine.
Yeah.
Mark Mitchell guy destroyed South Carolina.
God, I know.
Gee, 20 points, 11 boards, 5 assists. Had a block shot. That guy.
I mean, talk about different trajectories, too. 2 years ago, Carolina under Lamont Paris goes to the NCAA tournament. Missouri team that year didn't win a single damn SEC game.
Yeah, they were terrible.
They were awful.
And they weren't that bad, but they were sort of bad. I mean, Dennis Gates he's a good recruiter and a good coach. And, you know, they went to the tournament his first year. Mm. They did have the 0-18 the next year, which is crazy. But then they got back to the tournament last year. They're getting back to the tournament this year. The tournament's going to be 3 out of 4, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Cleveland State, he was there, had a losing season his first year, but then NCAA tournament, NIT, back-to-back. I mean, coach, if you can win consistently and you have one bad year where it's just really bad, I'm fine with that. I mean, you know, I think anybody at South Carolina right now would trade – one tournament and 3 bad years for 3 tournaments and 1 bad year, even if that 1 bad year is an embarrassing 0-18 in the league.
Right.
So, and they were competitive that year too. I mean, Carolina beat them by about 10 or so at home, beat them, but out there, who was it? Studi that hit a shot to win the game late. Was it Miles Studi that did that?
It may have been, you might be right there. Yeah, I remember that was a competitive game.
It was. It was an early in the season. I think it was Carolina's first conference road game, and they went out and won it 71-6. Jacoby Wright, Harrison.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Wright. So that's the deal there. But I wish I could tell you there's some magic way to turn it around. I don't think there is. I think what we need to start discussing is the future and how to fix it overall. Right. I just don't think this year is going to happen. Gamecock Garrett says, pretty sure we could have had Dennis Gates, if I'm not mistaken. Well, what I was told was they had it ready to go after Frank Martin got fired. And there was going to be a pretty quick turnaround. And then there were powers that be wanted Tanner and Miller to Tanner Chance to interview Sean Miller. And so time was of the essence. Missouri went and hired Dennis Gates. Missouri's a better basketball job. Historically, it's pretty good basketball job.
Yeah, not bad.
Mm-hmm. But could South Carolina have gotten Dennis Gates? Had they acted quicker? Maybe, possibly.
That whole Sean Miller situation, just like, you could legitimately point back to that, JC, if things continue to not go well on the hardwood for the men, that action alone could have set this program back like in a measure of years.
Yeah, a lot of decisions that have been made around here as far as the job goes have set it back. But I mean, yeah, I'm pretty confident it would have been Dennis Gates had they not gone down the Sean Miller path. But and Dennis was good. Dennis was at Florida State, recruited, and he kind of recruited the South Carolina area and stuff there. Good recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. Who knows? Who knows what would have happened?
Yeah,
with all that. But yeah, you're right about that, Garrett. Dennis Gates could have been the coach here, but that's just one of those things. I mean, Kirby Smart could have been the football coach here and would have been had Georgia not opened. So that was done. that was going to happen. Kirby Smart was going to be the head coach, but and look, I don't know if Kirby Smart or Dennis Gates would have done better.
No.
I mean, Muschamp and Lamont Paris. I don't know that for sure. I can't tell you that for sure.
No. And more than likely Kirby would have been, you know, just passing through.
I know Sean Miller would have just been passing through.
Well, that's what drove me crazy about that. Anyway, I'm like, why are you at A? It's a long shot anyway to even get a guy like that to come in here because he's got a name, you know, and then you're not the place he wants to be. Like, he obviously he wants to be at a bigger program on the main stage and will take that opportunity as quickly as he can.
Yeah, I mean, he just used Xavier for a couple of years, went back to Xavier and then was gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but Xavier's a good, but it's telling though that a coach will say, it is best for my career.
It, right.
To go back to a, I mean, they're not a mid-major, they're in the Big East. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Big East. So it's not really a mid-major, it's Power Six, but to go back to Xavier and then immediately use that as a springboard to get the Texas job.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I don't know, but I don't have any idea what direction they'll go. If a firing will come about, if not, if firing won't come about, I really think though that you, it's a it's no offense to anyone, it's a bottom line business, and it's just athletic directors, school presidents, the powers that be have to make their decisions based on the bottom line. Yeah. Any business is a bottom line business. This one included that we're in. And so it's just, it's you either get it or you don't. And so, and if you don't, you're gone. And that's just how it is. These guys all make a ton of money. If someone gets fired, they're going to be fine. They're going to get to go to the Bahamas for 2 weeks and sleep it off and get a new lease on life and have millions in the bank. And they just move on. So,
Right. Yeah,
you hate it because you hate when good people get let go. I don't like it, you know, from a personal standpoint. You know, I don't get into this whole personally attack the guy that failed at coaching. No, Will Muschamp one time tweeted, like, they named the gate after Clyde Wren. And Will Muschamp had the audacity, according to some fans out there, to retweet it and say, well deserved, and
be a decent human, right?
Yeah, be a decent human being, which he is,
right?
And the response was just horrible. Just saying all kinds of things about him and his family and F you, Muschamp. Dude, you got to separate that, you know, not personally, because I guarantee you nobody would say that to his face ever.
Oh, no,
you wouldn't want any of that smoke. I'll tell you that right now. But I mean, I just, so I don't get into that. I'm not going to sit there and go off on somebody unless they have some issues here where they don't treat people the right way and all that. Then I'll say they didn't treat people the right way, but it'll always be about the business and not F you and all that good stuff. So,
but regarding basketball, like, is the question at the end of the season, JC, can we just throw more money at the roster? Will that be enough? Because again, what we're finding and hearing is that South Carolina, even though while spending more money than it ever has on NIL for basketball, is still way behind all the other SEC programs, not all of them, but, you know, not in the top half of spending. And is just spending enough money to get these basketball players who are a bit more mercenary, like, if you will, than say football players and things of that nature. Cause there's not a ton of development that happens at the college level from a basketball perspective. Can you just throw more money at it? Is that like the first thing they look or that?
Well, they did that.
Administration. Right. Yeah. And, or that was the back half is, well, we did that last year and the results didn't come.
The question you have to ask yourself if you go in that direction is A, are you going to be able to get enough talent, enough players?
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to think you got other sports you have to find money for too, with in this world we exist in. Are you going to have enough to where you're not just better than you have been the last 2 years, like, i.e., you're not at the bottom anymore? You know, is there enough money to go completely reverse everything?
Yeah.
And then number two, the question you have to ask yourself is, will Lamont Paris be able to go take those resources and identify, because you still have to find the players that can play, identify the right guys. Those are the questions you have to ask. And I don't know the answer without digging in more. Yeah. And you know, that's above my, I mean, I have an idea of what the administration's thinking right now. I mean, I have an idea and it won't be, I don't know that the preferred option is to throw more money at players. You know, but because that's Phil, here's the thing, that's going to happen anyway. That has to happen anyway,
right? It has to, yeah.
That's anybody worth a flip given. To take this job, you're gonna have to GM up with some dollars. That's what the whole college sports is about right now. Mm. And so that's the deal there. Someone asked about baseball, which it's been a pretty penny now. Baseball teams ranked very low in the conference preseason polls. Yep, 15th out of 16th, only ahead of Missouri, which is a disaster baseball-wise right now.
Yeah, which is if ever they're in front of you, you know you've got massive problems.
Do you think we'll be a postseason team this year? I don't know. It's interesting to me. I thought North Carolina would be a little higher. It does seem like and this is why spending money isn't always the key. It seems like there's a lot of teams that have spent far less in NIL than South Carolina in baseball this year have some really good talent. They got the SEC's loaded again this year. I think part of it could be based on last season. I don't know. I hope they're a postseason team. I think fans deserve to have a postseason team. I think fans are sick of losing in sports that they care about. Not that you don't care about women's basketball or softball. Although, by the way, I know softball took two losses this weekend. One of our listeners is really distraught about that.
Yes.
I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a good dude and a great listener of our show.
Yeah.
But I'm actually worried about him. But it was almost like in real time when the softball team lost, even though softball is not really an undefeated sport and you can drop a few here and there and still be fine. It's like he was just like, enough. He was like that Vanderbilt fan. Derek Mason's first year, Vandy moved there. And I told Vandy fans that year, and I got crucified for it, that I thought Vandy wasn't going to win a conference game. Because guess what Derek Mason did? He took the nice, nifty little spread offense that James Franklin run, and he's decided he was going to take all those players that were recruited for that system and run a pro-style power system at Vanderbilt in the SEC before the transfer portal. Vanderbilt's not even running that now, and they're good. Okay, that was his genius plan, to be like Stanford. I'm like, Stanford, Derek. showed up with a bow-tied SEC media day, says, well, I'm just as good as Steve Spurrier or Nick Saban. Okay, I like the confidence.
That's right.
Yeah. And
throw it out there.
And then I was like, and then he wanted to, you know, so I'm like, Stanford's good in the Pac-12 because in the Pac-12, you don't see that. They're a special preparation. You don't see I formation, double tight ends in the Pac-12. Mm. You see a lot of spread, West Coast stuff. Stanford was a throwback. They go out recruit nationally on the offensive line. And I get it. You know, if Vanderbilt were struggling, but they had won 9 games back to back under James Franklin. He comes in there. And I told everybody in Nashville, I was living in Nashville now, like, they're going to lose every conference game. I don't see them win. You're an idiot. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I think I got crucified by the 12 Vanderbilt fans on the internet. There's 17 now, including Theo Vaughn and Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
19. I just got killed. Sure enough, they went 0-8. So they played Ole Miss at Nissan Stadium where the Titans play. They moved the game over there for some reason. And they're sitting at about, gosh, Phil, they were 0-1. They had not won an SEC game yet. And this was like game 3. They still had a chance. They had played some teams close. And this crap started again where they couldn't move the ball at Ole Miss. Ole Miss had Hufford. I think it was the 14 season. My buddy was there. He said, all of a sudden, this Vandy fan wearing a gold sweater and a scarf gets up, takes off, because, you know, you could obviously buy beer at the pro stadiums. He has a full beer and just chunks it at the field. It was like, F you, Vandy, I'm done. That was what our friend with the softball game Jake's reaction on X reminded me.
Truly. I was shocked when I saw it. I was like,
I can't believe this.
Looks a little out of character. I mean,
that was way out of character.
I'm mad about it too, man. But
there are some people that are done with losing, and there'll be more situations like that as we move forward.
If the
beatings will continue until morale improves.
At let baseball split this doubleheader on Friday.
Oh my gosh. Now, all right. So I'll say this about the baseball team. I, the folks that know the sport better than I do, it ranges from, I don't think they're going to be all that good, or I don't see it, to, they have a chance to be pretty good. The standards here are very high in that sport. And obviously the rest people that get paid to cover the sport, I don't keep that in mind. I don't get paid to cover baseball or to be an expert in baseball. No. They don't think very highly of this group, which is shocking. It's supposed to be one of the best portal classes in the country. They spent money to get out of the hole. But let's just hope that it's not that way. And I'll tell you why, because we all deserve a good baseball season around here.
It's long overdue.
And sometimes year two sometimes goes pretty well with new coaches. I mean, think back football, Spurrier's year two, they beat Clemson. Holtz's year two speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Muschamp's year two is 9-4 is his best record. Beamer's year two, they had that magical two game run where they knocked Clemson and Tennessee out of the playoffs and won 8, memorable Gator Bowl. Lamont Paris's year two, they went to the tournament. Frank's year two was ugly, but that was a slow build in basketball. Odom's year two was not good. Maybe it's not the case in basketball, except for Lamont. Mm. But, baseball, Holbrook's year two. Holbrook's year two was solid. They were a national seed. They just got upset in the regional. Kingston's year two, not good. Mm. But Maneri's retooled the. He's got a different team. So if this team tanks, maybe it's not the players. So I don't know. But it's a long. Greg, that was a long way of answering that question. But I guess the bottom. I guess I said all that to say, who knows? But I'm hoping for the best. But they absolutely have to be a postseason. I mean, you've got to meet the minimal standard with anywhere you coach, and the minimal standard for South Carolina baseball is higher than other sports. So at a minimum, you need to be in the NCAA tournament.
It's also a field of 64, right? So yeah. It's easier to get in, at least numbers wise, into that.
Right. Exactly. All right, Phil, let's get our final break in here.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. Talked our way right through here.
Tomorrow, we'll have Alex Jones in for the Gamecock Smorgasbord. Always look forward to that one. So get a fresh plate every time you go to the buffet.
That's right.
So we are looking forward to that. Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock. No, actually, we won't have a show on Friday.
Well, with the adjusted schedule, we probably need to. Well, we'll talk. Because now we're... We can only go 2 hours now, and
I don't want to have a show during the game.
No, that's what I'm saying. Maybe we'll take it to 1 and then cut it off at the game.
All right, that's acceptable.
That's what I was going to suggest, yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't have Meatloaf Monday this Monday, but we do have a little Meatloaf. Somebody sent me a picture of Meatloaf. Send your Meatloaf photos.
Submit your meatloaf photos and the Gamecocks at gmail.com.
It's if you call somebody and be like, send me a picture of your meat loaf.
We definitely need to worry about phrasing with that one.
Yeah, no dramatic pauses.
Meat
in your throat where you have to stop. No comma. There's no comma there.
That's right.
Yeah, join us for Meatloaf Monday, each and every Monday on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be right back to wrap it up. Mad Dog and JC after this.
2026 is the year of the Barn Dominium. And the Barn Dominium Company
wants to help you build your dream home for your family. Make your dream a reality. Change your life today. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Oh, man, the building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
And now, the show goes on.
All right, welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a wide open Wednesday. Good to be back with you. We are rolling right on through the ITG chat box here. Been some good stuff. Very interactive day today.
I love interaction.
Yeah, man. So it's the best. But where is Jacoby right now? Didn't he transferred, did he not?
He was out of eligibility.
Was he?
Okay. But he got in the portal, like, I guess, in case they
changed
the rules, and then that was it. But he's out of that. Roger mentions baseball has not been a number one seed in a regional but once in the last eight seasons with no postseason in 2020, hosted as a 2-21. At this point, we have to hope we can make it at all. Things have changed. Yeah, it's just been a wilderness kind of day. It's just, you know, you got to get it back somehow. Or at least get it. You got to get it back to not worst in the SEC, which is unacceptable. Even when South Carolina came to their first year in the SEC from the freaking Metro, they made the NCAA tournament. I mean, June Raines, 4 years before he retired. I mean, they started slipping once they got in the SEC for a while, but that 1992 team made the tournament. NCAA's turn, the big dance in baseball. That's what you do around here. You don't go to Omaha all the time, but when you do well. But you don't miss the NCAA tournament, and you don't finish last in any league. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No,
that's just insane. Whatever needs to happen to fix it in
baseball. Yeah, I mean, what makes it worse, the upstart private school in this conference is beginning to outperform you in certain aspects. That should make everybody mad.
Yeah, and Vandy, to their credit, they've been good in baseball for a long time.
Well, baseball's a different story because they have a competitive advantage there.
Yeah. Look what they're doing in every other sport. And you're like, Vanderbilt is good in football. They're really good in men's basketball. They have an historic women's basketball. I mean, they're not a threat to South Carolina women's basketball yet. And then baseball is going to be good yet again. High times. It's high times. For the Vanderbilt fans.
Phil. Commodores are sailing the high seas.
Sailing the high seas, right? It's high times for you, right? I don't know why I busted into that voice, but I did. Yeah, that's a sad, sad reality there from Roger as far as baseball goes. But good, great programs bounce back.
Right.
Great programs can be great again. So David says, any on Nike, anything update on Nike football jerseys? I would expect no miracles as far as any kind of new cool look. That's just not Nike. It's probably going to look about the same, but it'll have the swoosh on it. And they switch over to Nike July 1st, is my understanding. So, TD Nell says, the late, great Ronnie Collins told me the basketball team won't ever have success until there's a significant financial investment made in the program. You know, Krager said, you didn't throw enough money at it. Even if they spend $6 or $8 million, that's not enough. That's why I say give Lamont 12, see if he can do it. They don't have 12. I mean, I just don't think that, you know, for a coach that if it ends up tanking and he finishes what 3-15 in the league or something again, you're gonna throw that much money because you're not, there's no way to make that back in upside unless he has just a special season. And in basketball, it's going to take until January for people to even start paying attention. It's the way college basketball is. So I don't know that. I mean, look, if that's the decision they make, you won't find a bigger fan of Lamont Paris, the person. And I think his coaching philosophy can work if he's got the right players, but it's been 2 years now. They just haven't figured that out. And I think the whole spending thing is you've got to be able to find guys that can get you close. And they're out there in basketball. You got to find guys that can get you close. And other schools have done that.
Yeah.
There's mid-major schools that have a fraction of the budget South Carolina does that are just flat out a better basketball team than South Carolina. So, I mean, I don't know that Northwestern has a huge NIL budget for or Butler. I mean, Butler with rev share because they don't have football probably, but
yeah, the ones that don't support football, I would imagine are better positioned. Better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Clemson series for baseball this year is the biggest Clemson baseball series in a long time. Just feels like the program will go one of two ways after that series. Yeah. I think they need to win a game in the series. Do not get swept. That would be a start. Haynes says there will be more Gamecock fans watching the women than the men on Saturday night. Do you ever think that would happen? Well, the women have a big game with LSU, and I don't even – the men are playing Alabama. That's not – they never do all that. Yeah.
We're not surprised that would be the outcome. Yeah. No, there might be more people watching that women's basketball game than have total watched men's basketball here at South Carolina all season long because it is on ABC and it is a big national matchup.
Yeah. So Brent says he went off and Steven went off and blocked all of us. We're always cool with each other, but he blocked me, Hope, and others. I just asked if he'd been hacked because I wasn't like him. Steven's here, though.
That's right.
On this one, too, I'm always watching to help bring people down. Steven, I sincerely hope you're doing okay, buddy.
Yeah,
hey,
man.
Hey, it wears on all of us, man. Don't worry. Haynes says that was Jamari Thomas who got in the portal. Yeah, Jacoby was talking about doing that.
Yeah, I looked it up. He's actually playing, it would appear, in Bosnia.
Yeah, I got the word that Jacoby was
going to do that,
but it was Jamari that did that. Harrison thought the basketball program's back on track after 2023. And then, you mean in baseball? Yeah, 23 was a good year. I mean, if they hadn't, they had a, they had some rotten luck under Kingston because they their whole infield was hurt for a month and they struggled. And then they got back in that regional. Remember Campbell? Everybody's like, Campbell's going to beat them. That'll be the upset. And they beat the crap out of Campbell. And this ran into a Florida team that, quite frankly, was elite and playing at an elite level. And then 2024, it was a sad ending because they were looking like they may host. They were doing fine. And then the bottom falls out.
Just the wheels fell off. Yeah.
And then bizarrely enough, in Raleigh, that team had some pitching issues, you know, but the last game, they lost 2-0 to James Madison. That was the end of the Kingston era. But they did make a run in Hoover. That was crazy enough, one of the years that they made a run. And should have won more in Hoover. They had LSU down big, and LSU came back and beat them twice, I think. Regionals should be the minimal expectation, Ethan says. Yes, I think it's that way every year. Mm-hmm. Every year in baseball. Every single year, you got to make it. Harrison said Georgia destroyed us at 3 games at Founders, and then he had to go to Knoxville and play the eventual national champs. Yeah.
Tough break.
Very, very tough break. So these heights and weights for these freshmen, Phil.
Yeah, let's take a look here.
Let's take a little look. So Landon Duckworth, 6'4", 210. I like it.
Yeah.
Good size. Now, we'll see if these end up. We're not going to know how accurate these are until they go to the combine in 4 years.
That's right. But, well, Duckworth will be easy because it was like, is he the tallest quarterback on the roster? Which you'll be able to tell because they'll stand near each other. Yeah. But is he taller than Lenore Sellers? And then, he is 6'4".
Tristan Lewis, 6'2", 207. So he was kind of a 6'4", 190 listed guys. He's 6'2", 207. Greenwood High School. Jazavian Currents, 6'4", 210. That's a big, long, lengthy dude.
Yeah, man.
Harrison's seen Duckworth around campus. He said he's every bit of 6'4".
Really? Oh.
Kazi Barnes, lots of people said 6'3". 6'2", but 206. I thought he was maybe a little bit thinner than that. 206 is good. That guy could play. Keep an eye on him this year. They need some more quality depth at corner. He was a riser in high school, got better and better and better and better. Had some unbelievable highlights at Greensboro Grimsley. I'm just saying, I'm not predicting anything, but just saying. Keep an eye on that guy. Stone Furry, 5'10", 185. That's a good solid size, Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Stone's a great football player. These two linebackers are huge. Keenan Britt, 6', 238. Andrew Harris, 6'2", 240. Andrew could also maybe be an edge, but Clayton White likes big linebackers. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. Zion Giles, 6'5", 305. It's a good size tackle, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Julian Walker, 6'6", 250. Like it.
That's all right.
Like it, love it, want some more of it. Anthony Baxter, 6'4", 340. That is a mountain of a man. Got to get him to reshape a bit.
Yeah.
He
needs probably a little bit of tweaking, right? Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of tape when I went last time I went hunting for some on Anthony Baxter, but he had some D line tape from maybe his junior year on the defensive side. And he's cool. I mean, for a big guy, he can move. I mean, I like him. I don't see him playing this year. I think it'd be a couple of years, but I like what could become of him there. Down the road, 3 years or so. Noah Clark, 6'5", 340. That's a big boy.
That's a big nose tackle. Right? That's a big one. Zero technique.
And here was one I was very interested in because I think at 285, 290, he can play first year as long as he takes to the coaching. And I mean, some guys just – they don't train. I mean, they have to wait, you know, like they're not ready. And you never can truly know that, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
But Aiden Harris is 6'2", 284. according to this. I think that's perfect for him to get going. So we will see. Harrison says, Craig, that might be inflating a bit. Duckworth being 210. Yeah, I don't know. Harrison says, hopefully these true freshman offensive linemen don't have to play unless they just beat out their competition. Yeah, and there's a difference between, like, Cedric Surratt last year.
Yeah.
Was just better than the guy. I mean, it's not that the guys were not good. They couldn't make a difference, but he was just better. That's what you want. Like, with Josiah Thompson 2 years ago, that was their answer at left tackle. That was, I mean, and it was almost out of necessity. They didn't have a lot of depth there at that point. So, two different things as far as being forced to play, and because that's the best you've got, or by being simply the best you've got at a competitive situation. I'm not going to rule Darius Gray out from playing. And Zion, truthfully, could be in the two deep. He's a little raw, but could be in the two deep. Also could be inside. So we'll say, we'll see. TD Nell says, is it a weight thing or strength with the tempered expectations with Walker? I was just told he's got to fill out a little bit. Somebody that saw him play, get stronger. That's a good size, 6'6", 250 on him. And like I said before, his dad's a strength coach. He should be able to do that.
Yeah.
But he's another one a lot like Causey Barnes and some others, Jazavian Currents, who I've mentioned. They played better and better and better and better. Sometimes guys that commit over the summer or something, not as good their senior year, you know, or maybe not that they're coasting, but they just kind of are what they are. Oh yeah, good year, whatever. But these guys, all Currents, Barnes, Walker, their best ball was the last time they walked on a high school football field.
Yeah, you kept hearing about them, right, in the media. So you're like, oh, they're, you know, not just sitting back and waiting on this season to be over so they can head on off to college. Like, they're still fighting, which is what you want. And competition.
I'm not going to be surprised at all if Julian Walker plays next year. Because, yes, right now, on February 11th, strength is a concern. Just because he's young, but you don't have to play right now. You don't have to play until September. No. So, yeah.
And this strength and conditioning staff is obviously noted for getting these guys up to, getting their bodies up to their potential.
Yeah.
In short order.
Yeah. He's going to end up being a significant pickup.
Mm-hmm.
They flipped him. Remember though, when he committed, when they flipped him, nobody expected it. I didn't, because I heard it was way back and forth, and a lot of people felt like Michigan. And then he held off, and like, you know, who knows? And then I think we're on the air. And this was like, holy crap, Walker flipped us.
Walker just flipped us, and it's like, whoa.
It was a happy day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody mentioned Mike Boynton being the men's basketball coach. Mike Boynton's going to have the resources to get it behind him to get it done, and there has to be alignment. I don't think Mike Boykin, based on what he did at Oklahoma State, is going to come in and, you know, I mean, I don't know. With resources, yeah.
No.
But if you're wanting, you know, it's a tough job, guys. It's a tough job. I love Mike Boykin. If he got the job, no one would be happier than I, because I like to see Gamecocks come back and do well. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of different options. You know, if you land on the right mid-major, it can change your program. You can ask Alabama about Nate Oates and Florida about Todd Golden. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys came from San Francisco and Buffalo. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Weren't met with fanfare.
No.
Mm-mm. However, you know, if you hit the lottery, you can do that's hard to do because there's a lot of mid-major coaches. Or you can go, if you find somebody with a huge name that just wants to take the job, find a guy that's unhappy at his current job, is a really good coach, like Frank Martin or Eddie Fogler when they hired him.
Yeah, looking for just a change of scenery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you can go like the Mike Boykin route, the connections route. You know, there's just all kinds of things. So TD Null asks if Caleb Herring can be like Kennard was for Stewart. Yeah, that in general, Caleb is a different type of player than Kennard, in my opinion. But in general, yes, that other side needs to be money this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not overachievement, not production like Brian Thomas Jr., who was productive, but did he make a difference? Sometimes he did, but
not consistently enough.
I wouldn't call him a consistent difference maker like Kennard. Right. Now, that doesn't mean 13 and a half sacks. That means setting the edge and being a guy you have to account for. Mm-hmm. Deputy Smitty got in the chat box, by the way. He's like, I love a good flip at closing time. Good to hear from you, Deputy.
Yeah, man.
Especially when it's a guy like Walker. Good day. That was a good day.
Yes, sir.
We're all sitting here. Look, it's dang near February 15th, dang near Valentine's Day. We're all looking back like, remember in December when we were happy?
Oh, man. Those were the days.
Yeah. Brave Red says, my bold prediction is Herring gets 10 sacks. Look.
Take that.
How many sacks? So yeah, Kennard had how many? 13, 13 and a half?
I think it was, it was almost the record.
Almost the record. And then Brian Thomas Jr. had 6. So that's 19 over 2 years. That's not as crazy as some people may think it sounds.
No.
When you're opposite Dylan Stewart. Dylan's got to work on some things, too. He's got to get healthy. Got to play the run better. But that's, it's like, we don't ask him to play the run.
Right?
Anyway.
That's what linebackers are for.
Anyway, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Don't forget tomorrow, Smorgasbord with Alex Jones. Friday, Matt Anderson will be back. The full slate here on Chief Sports Network. Just want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. Always love wide open Wednesday. My man Roger holding it down for Woodruff and Spartanburg County. Deputy Smitty holding it down for Spartanburg County.
Yeah.
Love all my Spartanburg County people that get in. And certainly appreciate all of you for listening. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, it's J.C. Sherbert. Been inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll holla at you soon.